Good morning, friends. This is Joel Martin with you for the Everlasting Word. Now, today's message is going to come from the book of Philippians, chapter 3, and we will begin with verse 13. Now, the thought for today is press on. Press on. Now, when I say the words press on, that implies there's something pressing against us. Now, as we try to live for the Lord and walk in His paths of righteousness for His name's sake, yes, we have an enemy in Satan that's trying to discourage us, trying to confuse us, trying to perplex us, trying to get off of that road and go any other road except for the one true road that the Lord would have us walk. Now, Paul points out some very important things beginning with verse 13, where he says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before." Now, what's Paul talking about when he says, "I count not myself to have apprehended"? Well, previously in verse 12, he states that not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. So Paul's goal, what Paul's motivation was to get to that point to understand and to apprehend why it was that Jesus Christ came and apprehended him. Why did Jesus Christ come and meet him on the road to Damascus to save his soul? Because in Paul's mind, he says, "Of sinners, I am chief." And Paul wanted to get to that point and to understand why the grace and the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ is so great that he would come and meet a man that had papers in his hands, that was just angry at Christians and wanted them persecuted and wanted to consent to their death. But yet the Lord, through his mercy and his grace, met Paul on the road to Damascus and saved his soul. That's what Paul was talking about. He wants to apprehend that. He wants to understand that. But then Paul gets in verse 13 and says, Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. In other words, Paul says, I have not arrived. I have not arrived. In fact, what Paul's saying, as long as I'm in this body, this earthly body, I never will arrive to be exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ would have me be. We will never be exactly what he would have us to be until this life is over. We have our glorified body and we are with him in heaven. For while we're on this earth in this body, we will always be growing in Christ. We will always have something to learn, something to reach forward to. And that's what Paul begins to point out here in the following verses. As we continue on in verse 13, he says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do." And notice Paul does not give a list of things. He says, this one thing, this one singular thing I do, I forget those things which are behind. Those things that are in the past, I forget them. Whether they were good, whether they were bad, whether they were failures, I forget them. Those things that are in the past, they are forgotten. Now, one thing that we do as Christians, we live in the past too much. We let Satan get us concentrating too much on our past sins. We let Satan get us concentrating too much on our past failures. We tend to live in the past so much and say, why did I do this? Why did I do that? How did I get in that situation? But when we find ourselves living in the past, we risk missing the opportunities which are just before us. And that's exactly what Satan wants us to do. He wants us to dwell on our past, to dwell on our past sins, to dwell on our past failures, and then he gets us confounded with sin, he gets us confounded with doubt, he gets us confounded with all these things, and we tend to miss the opportunities that are just before us. But Paul says, this one thing I do, I forget those things which are behind. And by forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. In other words, what Paul is saying, those things which are behind, they're history. They're done. I can't do anything about them. But what I can do is these opportunities which are just before me, I can reach for them and I can take full advantage and in Christ's name, walk in his paths of righteousness for his name's sake and take full advantage for these opportunities that are just before me. But see, if we're dwelling in our past, we're going to miss the opportunities that are just before us. And friends, we serve a merciful God. We serve a gracious God. If we come to him with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, confessing our sins and begging his mercy and his grace, he will grant us his mercy and his grace. And those things which are behind, we can forget them and we can reach forth for the future opportunities that he gives us. But it's an interesting thing about opportunities. We got to take full advantage of them. And then in verse 14, Paul says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So Paul says, I press toward the mark. I'm pressing on, I'm pressing on, I'm pressing on. Now, if there was no resistance in his walk with Christ, would he have used the phrase, I press toward the mark? No. I don't know how it would have been worded. But since there is resistance of this world, resistance of Satan, Paul pins it down that I press toward the mark. Christian friend, if we have not met Satan today, we might be going the same direction that he's going. You need to really stop and evaluate. None of us like affliction. None of us like persecution. None of us like hardship. But as long as we're in this body, as long as we're in this sin-cursed body, in this sin-cursed world, we're going to face opposition if we try to live godly in the name of Christ Jesus. So as we move toward Christ, as we try to reach forth for those things which are just before us, those opportunities that are just before us, we need to press toward that mark. That mark being there's a standard. There's a requirement that we must meet. We must put this world aside. We must crucify this flesh so it won't hinder us, so it won't get in the way. And we can press toward that mark. Now, another way of looking at that mark is there's a finish line. There's a finish line. And that finish line is for our faith to end in sight, for us to stand face to face with our Lord and Savior, the one who stayed on that cross, who suffered and died, bled and died for my sin and for your sin. We press toward that mark, and that mark is for us to stand face to face with him in reality, and we see him. So our responsibility here is to keep our eyes on that mark, to keep our eyes on that prize. And a lot of people might want to word this for that prize, for we're going to be rewarded. Yes. And you know what that reward is? That reward is eternal life with our Lord and Savior. For see, when we get there and we go through the judgment seat of Christ, and whatever crowns that we have been awarded with, when we stand before Him, you know what's going to happen with my crowns? If I achieve any, my crowns are going to be cast at my Lord and Savior's feet, because I am not worthy. He is worthy to be worshiped. He is the reason that I will not suffer eternity in a devil's hell. He is the reason that you won't suffer eternity in a devil's hell. He is the one that's worthy, and He's the only one that is worthy. So the prize that we need to keep our eyes on is eternal life in heaven with Him. But see, friends, if we take our eyes off that prize, we risk missing the opportunities that are just before us. We will stop reaching forth for those opportunities, and then we will tend to live in the past and dwell on our failures and our past sins. But Paul says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And then he begins in verse 15, he says, let us, therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. Now, let's understand this phrase, as many as be perfect. I am not a perfect person. You are not a perfect person. But if you are truly born again, that was imputed unto you in the person of the Holy Spirit is perfect. That spirit that's in you, that earnest that is in you, that the Lord Jesus Christ will come back and claim one day, that is perfect. That spirit that He put in you, that shed blood that He put applied to your heart, is perfect. And that's what Paul is referring to here. Us in this sin-cursed body, no, we're not perfect. But that at the time we were saved, at the time that our names was put in the Lamb's Book of Life, that which was imputed unto me, that which was imputed unto you is perfect. Now, he says, let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. In other words, think this way. And what he's referring to is those things which are behind, let them go. Forget it. Forget them. Now, if you're like me, you have a hard time of letting go of things. Friends, we need to learn to let go of things. And what Paul's referring to is, if it's behind us, let it go, forget it, and reach forth for those opportunities that are just before us. Reaching, keeping our eyes on that mark, keeping our eyes on that prize. That's what Paul is talking about, to be thus minded. And then the second half of verse 15, he says, and if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. In other words, if your mindset is not on forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before and keeping your eyes on that prize, Paul's prayer is that God will reveal your mindset to you. We get our minds renewed. We get our minds renewed spiritually. We get our mindset on Christ. And we get to the point where we can reach forth and fully take advantage of all those opportunities that God has given us. Because Satan does not want us taking advantage of any opportunity. But our responsibility is to take full advantage of every opportunity that God gives. So that's today's message. I hope something has been said that's a help to you. I will be back with you next week. This is Joel Martin.